Today we're going to be talking about bones and skeletal tissue. So this is the start for lecture exam three. Lecture exam three will cover chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's a lot, but that's bones and muscles. Okay, so the muscular system and the skeletal system. Chapter 7 and 8 I'll cover on Tuesday. Yes, chapter 7 is enormous, but that's what we're doing in lab. So all that we're doing in lab is on the lecture test. So I'm going to graze it, but I'll give you all the PowerPoints of it so it's all like listed out there. But I'm not going to go through all of the pieces of the skull again because that's what we did in lab. I'm not going to go through every piece of each of the bone because we'll do that when we do the axial system on Friday. So, right. So, today we're going to talk about the different shapes of bones. We're going to talk about cartilage. That's the first thing we're covering, skeletal cartilage, and the chemical composition of bones. So humans are born with cartilage first. Well, we start out with cartilage, eventually turns into bone. By the time we're born, we have bones, but mostly cartilage still. So you can see in here, there's the tan is actual bone, but the green is cartilage. So there's tons and tons of cartilage still in there. This is why babies are extremely bendy, which is great because you don't want their foot to get caught and break. Breaking bones on a baby would be horrible. I think that they would not do well on it. How do you keep it immobile? They're a baby. They don't understand. But they move around really well. They have. Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on right now. No. Okay. That was weird. All right. So anyway, skeletal cartilage, it's made up of highly resilient molded cartilage tissue that consists primarily of water. Okay? There's no blood vessels, there's no nerves inside of cartilage, which is why it doesn't really hurt to get your ear pierced up here or getting it pierced here. What hurts is going through the skin on the outside. But if you put something through your bone, that's probably going to hurt. But if you put it through cartilage, not so much. Okay? Because there's no nerves there, so you don't feel it. It's also why you don't really bleed. Because there's not a lot of layers of vascular tissue or vascular tissue in here. Because you know your outer layer of skin is avascular, the cartilage is avascular, so very thin layer of vascular tissue. Okay, the periconundrium. Anyway, it's a layer of dense connective tissue. It surrounds the cartilage like a girdle. You guys know what a girdle is, right? It makes that sound when you put it on. Actually, you make that sound when you put it on. Yeah, suck it in and it holds everything in place. That's the point. It clings really hard to stuff and keeps everything in place. Anyway, it helps the cartilage resist outward expansion, much like a girdle. It doesn't allow outward expansion. It contains blood vessels. So that you can get nutrients to the cartilage. Cartilage is going to be made up of chondrocytes. Do we remember what chondrocytes are? They're cells, yeah. Found where? Starts with an L.
Look.
Yeah, lacunae. And those are in the extracellular matrix. All right, so these are our three types of cartilage. We have hyaline cartilage, elastic cartilage, and fibrocartilage. That's out of order. Okay. I was like, that does not look like elastic cartilage. you can see elastic cartilage is going to have a lot more chondrocytes than hyaline cartilage or fibrocartilage. Hyaline cartilage is for support. It is very flexible and resilient. It is the most abundant type of cartilage in the body. What's the most abundant type of cartilage? Yep. It's it for articulation. What's articulation? Movement of joints. So we're going to cover that in lab. Then the ribs, so the costal cartilage, respiratory, because your larynx is made up of hyaline cartilage. Your tip of the nose, that's hyaline cartilage. So if you feel on your nose, that's what hyaline cartilage feels like. Okay? It's resilient, it's elastic, well, flexible, not really elastic, but flexible. Elastic cartilage is similar to hyaline cartilage, but it also has elastic fibers in it. So this part of your ear, that's elastic cartilage. So you can feel it's a bit harder than the hyaline cartilage. Your epiglottis is made up of elastic cartilage. That's the little flap that covers your trachea when you're swallowing. So you can feel it if you swallow, you can feel your epiglottis move. Like, don't full swallow, just go like you're going to swallow, and you can feel it shut off.
It kind of like stops the breathing.
Yeah, and
Like you're about to swallow.
that's the epiglottis shutting. And it's elastic cartilage, so it's got to be able to move. Fibrocartilage, that's going to be thick. It's going to have thick collagen fibers, so you can see they're a lot thicker, these long fibers. They are really, really great for tensile strength. So the disc in the vertebrae, that's fibrocartilage. The meniscus disc in the knee, so to keep them from rubbing on each other, that's fibrocartilage. So it's, if you jump up and down, it's not going to crush it. So you can push really, like really push on those, and they're not going to decompress. So good in tensile strength. All right, so if we're looking here, we have in green, that's going to be my elastic cartilage. In red, I have my fibrocartilage. So you can see here in the disc in between there and the disc in the knee. And then the hyaline cartilage is in the blue. And you can see there's way more blue in here than there is red or green. And actually, very, very little green, right? Epiglottis in the ear. And you see here our larynx and all of this. This is all hyaline cartilage. No, I think that's second. Yeah, respiratory second semester. But you guys will go over all of that in AMP2 with the larynx and the hyaline cartilage that's in the trachea. You can feel the bands of it in
Was
your
there red?
trachea.
Is it only in the knees and the pelvis area?
You have here in the vertebrae and here. Yeah. So this one here, the symphysis, that one gets like really loose when you're pregnant. So this is why, well, it allows for the expansion of the hips. Is why women, after they had a baby, their hips kind of stay wide because that stretches out a bit. So it allows to push the hips wider so the baby can get out. It's also why you're not supposed to push down in the pelvis area on a woman who's pregnant because it will cause it to stretch out further than it should. Yeah, it's also one of the reasons of not having lower back massages because too much pressure can cause that to stretch out. All right. So first, plicker question. Which of the following is not a type of cartilage? A, hyaline cartilage. B, elastic. Oh, shoot.
You put the letter on top, right? You put the fiber. The answer just popped up.
Oh, well, I had already picked everybody. I don't know what's up with this thing. It keeps, like, skipping. Okay, so, yeah, the answer is, it's not on a timer. It's been going. All right, oh, shoot. There we go. Fibrocartilage would be found at which location? Elbow, knee, larynx, or external ear? How do I? Okay, there we go. Oh, I have to. There we go. I didn't get you.
Wait. I just gotta go. I don't know. Confusion.
Don't be confusion. All right. I wonder if I can show the graph. Oh. Oh, good. It's frozen. Let me see. What is this? Plickers. Oh, there we go. It's the knee. It is the knee.
Elbow and knee.
All right, let me see if I can switch back to that. Oh, yep, it's the knee. All right, so there we go. Okay. I'll get that more fluid in the next one. It's just, you know, that was the first time of trying to two programs in one. All right. All right, so growth of cartilage. There's two different ways that we're going to have growing, oppositional growth and interstitial growth. Oppositional growth, that's going to be a new matrix. So new growth is going to be laid down on the surface of the cartilage. That's what that means. Okay? So I have my cartilage surface, and I'm going to put new cartilage on top of it. Interstitial, it's going to be made inside of the cartilage. So inter, inside of. Okay? That make sense? Yes, no, maybe, yeah. Okay. Now, interstitial inside, apositional growth is outside or on top of what's already there. So if you, the apositional, so that's my layer of cartilage, okay? So that's my layer of cartilage. This one, new cartilage, goes here on top. That's that one. Inside here is the interstitial. So inside of it. All right. Now, calcification happens of cartilage typically during youth. That's how we grow our bones. And, you know, from infancy, those that all that cartilage has to turn into bone. So that's normal to happen in youth, and it's a normal part of growing. But once you get older, that's not normal. But you can have calcification of cartilage, but it's not becoming bone. It's just hardened cartilage. Okay? There's a distinct difference between them. It doesn't turn into bone. It just gets hard. And then you have issues with like my dad had knee replacement surgery because the cartilage in his knee calcified and it like cracked out and stuff. And then his bone was rubbing on bone. So he couldn't walk very far at all. So he had double knee replacement and now he's got bionic knees so he can move around now. Can't bend his legs further than this, but you know, it's better than not being able to walk. Okay. This happens a lot in the hips too. People have hip problems.
And setback on the cartilage in his hip. It went out and went back in.
He dislocated his hip. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That I can feel that. It made my back hurt. Oh, ouch.
My brother, he broke his, well, he didn't know his leg was broken. And I don't know how this happened, but he woke up and he was walking, right? But he had a limp, and my brothers would tell him to walk straight, like walk straight, and they were like mess with him, like you need to walk straight.
Hmm.
And we went to the doctor because it was hurting too much, and his leg was broken.
I'm going to show you guys, when we talk about fractures, I think I'm just going to push that straight into the lab, but I'll show you guys some x-rays of fractures. If I can find mine, I'll show it to you. Mine is impressive because it's shattered on both sides. My ankle is shattered on both sides. Doctor said he'd never seen anything like it. But anyway, I'm going to show you a picture of an arm that's fractured. And the lady walked around with that fracture for 2 weeks, not knowing her arm was broken. So it's really impressive how broken it was to not know that it was broken. Sticking out.
Yeah.
How does she not know that? Anyway. Oh. Why didn't it change on here. Oh. Boo. Yeah, everybody will get this one right. Growth of cartilage from within is termed what? And it's on the board too. So. Yeah, you gotta have to hold it up still. Seriously, someone got it wrong? No. You know, it's just like clicking through the slides. Like it's going backwards. Okay. See, it's...
That's how Professor Zamora's thing
goes. I'm just going to hit freeze. Maybe it's... Oh. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, it's flipping on here, but I'm going to stay over here with this because I have it frozen. All right, there's 7 important functions of bones. We talked about this in lab: support, protection, movement, mineral growth, or mineral and growth factor storage, blood cell formation, triglyceride or fat storage, and hormone production. It supports the body, holds it up, and it... supports all the soft organs so that they don't just, because they don't have that support. It protects the brain, the spinal cord, all the vital organs. It's a lever for your muscles to move off of. So your muscles need to be able to push off of something. So they're pushing off of the bones. Calcium, phosphorus, all your growth factors. There's a reservoir inside of the bones for that. Hematopoiesis, that's the production of blood cells. That happens in the red bone marrow in certain bones, more in infants than in adults. Fat, it's an energy source, and it's stored inside of the bones. Osteocalcin, that's a hormone. It's secreted from the bones, and it regulates insulin. It regulates glucose, it regulates your metabolism. So insulin and glucose are very related to your metabolism. So, any questions on that? Nope. Ha. I froze it. All right. Killing me here. Which of the following is not a function of bones? Protection, support, mineral storage, or transportation? Got y'all. Oh, I should go here and then you guys can see if you. Yeah, I know. Because you got to answer. That's why I said I'll go here and then you can see if you answered. Yay. Oh, wow. we got celebrated. I feel like it's gonna be like on something that it's not supposed to be on. Yay, transportation. Oh, it's going backwards now. Okay. Oh. I'm just gonna freeze it again. Okay. So we already know that the body's broken up into two different, or the skeleton's broken up into two different parts, the axial and the appendicular skeleton. The axial is going to be the axis, so your skull, your spinal cord, your ribs, and the hips, or pelvis. The appendicular that one contains the hips, legs and hips and arms. Yeah. 206 bones in the body, unless you have extra bones. Oh, whoa, what is going on over here? Oh, that slide's not even supposed to be there. Nope. All right, so, yeah, there we go. So here we have the axial in the orange, the appendicular in the tan. I'll go with tan. I don't know what, maybe it has something to do with the rigging. I don't know, but it's just, it keeps, I've restarted the computer and everything. It's just, it keeps.
We've been doing this all day.
Yep. Okay. So I'm just going to freeze it on that one. All right. So we have four different shapes of bones. We have long bones, flat bones, irregular bones, and short bones. Long bones, they're going to be longer than they are wide. That's why they're long bones. These are going to be the limbs, legs, arms. So our femur, the humerus, ilium, all of these here, those are going to be long bones. Okay? Irregular bones, these are going to be, they don't fall into a shape because they're weirdly shaped. What's an example of a weirdly shaped one? Yeah, the vertebrae. The vertebrae. What's another one? Oddly, the hip. Irregular bone. The hip is an irregular bone because it's, I mean, that doesn't fall into any of the other categories. It's very oddly shaped. I mean, it makes sense that it's shaped like that, but it's not a long bone. You can't say it's a short bone. You can't say it's flat because it's irregular shaped, okay? Flat bones, they're going to be flat and thin, and they're going to have a slight curvature to them. So we're looking at the sternum, the scapula, the ribs, and most of the skull bones, okay? Then we have short bones. They're going to be cube-shaped bones, so we're looking like the little the carpals in your wrist, your phalanges and stuff. It's going to have the size of sesamoidal bones. So sesamoidal bone, your patella, that's a short bone. Did I cover all of them? Yeah, that's all four. Oh, wow, we're just like all over the place over here. It just continues to go through. Oh. Ah! Biscuits! I'm just going to go there. The term long, short, flat, and irregular are used to classify bones based on their... So useless to even scan it after you flash the answer. Not that this was a difficult one. Like, this was an easy question anyway. But she should get it anyway. Yeah. See? Yeah, it is. It's quite easy. Can I? Oh, that's me looking at the graph. How do I... There we go. Yay, shape. Okay, let me see where we're at when I click back over, because who knows? Okay, I want to go next slide. Okay, all right. We'll freeze that. All right. All right, so that was the different shapes of the bones or the classification of the bones. Bone structure. They're going to have a lot of different types of tissues in them and different types of cells in there. So they're actually considered an organ system, because there's different types of tissue. So osseous tissue or bone tissue, that is the most type of tissue that's found in bones. But it also has nervous tissue, cartilage, fibrous connective tissue, muscle cells, and epithelial cells with blood vessels running through it. So bone has a lot going on with it. We're going to talk about the three different levels of structure. So gross anatomy, that's the big picture, microscopic, so the histology of it, and the chemical makeup of it. Okay. Oh wow. What are we on over here? Okay.
I just see the light.
Oh, yeah, it's changing slides, but it's staying on this side. Right. Compact and spongy bone. Okay, it's what it sounds like. Spongy bone looks like a sponge, kinda. Okay, compact bone is going to be very compact. It looks solid. Compact bone is dense. It's going to be on the outer layer of the bone. It's going to appear very smooth. If you run your finger over it, it's smooth, unless there's shards, and then need to stand up. I mean, I know it's kind of lecture-y, but I'm moving around. Spongy bone's made up of it's like a matrix, almost like a honeycomb. It's got these little, like the trabeculae. I don't speak Latin, or whatever language that is. That's the little bone structures that are inside it, little flat pieces. The open spaces inside them are going to be filled with either yellow or red bone marrow. So if you, I mean, this is what you typically think of when you see a bone, that it looks like this. But bone, when you see it, if it's fresh, it's going to be red. The whole thing's red because it's got so much. I mean, this is the site of blood production, so it would be red because there's tons of blood in it. Does that make sense? Like this is filled with bone marrow in here that is red because it's red bone marrow. You're going to have yellow pieces in there too, because it's got yellow bone marrow, which is going to have the fat. And fat's yellow, so, which is why they call it yellow bone marrow. Oh, it's frozen. But it's supposed to. Okay, there we go. Okay. This is not an ideal way to teach. It's very distressing. All right, so that was. What did I just? Oh, the compact and spongy bone. I was like, I didn't do long bones. That was a long bone, but I didn't do long bones. All right, flat, short, and irregular bones. Okay, so we're looking here in the skull. This is going to be a flat bone. It's going to be made up of two layers of compact with spongy on the inside. These are the. I moved that over so it wouldn't do that. That's the makeup of the little flat bones that are inside it. When we go to the lab, wake up! When we go to the lab, you touch these, they're very sharp. You can, poke yourself pretty good on those. So don't like just jab your finger in it, but feel what it feels like. Okay. So the spongy bone, like inside of here, this is called the depole. The compact bone is going to have two different layers, the peristenum that covers the outside of it, and then you have the endosternum that covers what? The inside of it. So the periostenum on the outside, the endosternum on the inside. It's a membrane that just encases it. I showed brain surgery last year with this, where you could see the peritoneum being pulled back and then the endosternum, and the guy talks about it. I have to find that video again. Bone marrow is going to be scattered throughout it. Hyaline cartilage covers some areas of the bones if there's movable joints on it. Oh, yeah, I can't click it there, can I? All right, so that was the short and the flat bones, and I'll revisit some other structures of the short and the flat bones. Okay. Structure of the long bones. All right. Long bones have a little bit more going on in them. They have the shaft here of it. So the long piece is the diaphysis. The epiphysis is the end of the bones. So this is going to have compact bone on the outside. And we'll see in the lab, you'll get to see a femur, I think it is. So you see the compact bone on the inside, and then this the inside part of it here that's going to be hollowed out is the medullary cap cavity. Just stand up in the back. Your eyes were closed and your head was
No,
bobbing.
it's just blinking because I can't freaking.
The medullary cavity is going to be filled with yellow bone marrow. What's inside the yellow bone marrow? Fat. The epiphysis. That's going to have the spongy bone there. You're going to have the red bone marrow there. It's going to have its articulation points. So it's going to have the joints. So it's also going to have articulation cartilage there. That's the joints, the cartilage that covers a part that's inside of a joint. Okay. This little piece right here, the epiphyseal line, I don't have an epithelial line. I have an I can't say that word. I have a plate. Anyway, this is the line where growth is going to take place. Okay, so a doctor can look at your bones and see if you're still growing to see if it's sealed off or not. Okay, it's going to be highly mitotic right there. It's going to, oh no, epithelial line is what I have. Epithelial plate's what you have. Yeah, plate is still growing because it has the mitotic cells in it, so it's going to be producing more bone at that site. Throughout the day, the body is going to be producing these bone cells, but they won't fully calcify and become bone until you take gravity out of the picture. So I've actually witnessed it where, like with my daughter, not my baby daughter, because she's, I can't tell that she's grown until she's grown a lot, but I see my daughter, my older one, and I'm like, did you grow? Like, she's visibly bigger than she was the previous day. So she's gone through this process, she's built all of this, and then when she lays down for the night, it solidifies into bone. So when she gets up in the morning, she actually is taller and noticeably taller. So that's what happens younger in age. There's typically some point where this is going to happen. It's, anyway, once you stop growing, it just becomes a little line and it's no longer a plate. It's no longer mitotic. The bones will no longer be able to grow. So your femur will be the length of your femur, and that's how tall you are. So, does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, that's something.
Yes.
So, So when it stops becoming or stops growing, is it spongy or is it compact?
Good question. Let me show you. It's inside of the compact, and we'll see a better one, like a real one in the lab. So you have your spongy bone, it's inside of the spongy bone, and it's like this dense line of compact bone that runs through it. So I've never seen an epithelial plate. That's because all the bones I've ever seen the inside of were adults. So I don't know. I mean, I know what a model of it looks like. I don't know what it would look like in real life. And I've never, like, I'm not into x-rays and stuff like that. Maybe I should send my x-ray, well, what are they called? Radiology friend a message and ask, can she send me one of those? But good question. Okay. All right, so here is we're inside the humerus here. You can see this is the spongy bone. We have the vein or the veins running through it. This would be the compact bone. So you notice that that's what does that look like? Yeah, remember seeing this before? Where did we see that before? Yeah, when we looked at bone tissue, yeah. So if you recall, I said this is compact bone. So it's compact bone that you see the Hevernian canals, the lacuna, all of that stuff. That's in the compact bone. So we have the endosternum. Of course, it's on the inside of it. And this, the blue is cartilage, so this is on the humerus, so this is going to be inside of the joint here or the joint down here. Can't really tell what part of the humerus we're in at the moment. But there's two joints on the humerus, one at the elbow and one at the shoulder. All right, so here we can see the different membranes better. So we have the so this is the compact bone, and then on the inside of that we have the endosternum. So you can see that there, and then you would have that's yellow bone marrow. It is very yellow if you see it in real life. If you crack, well, no, I wasn't gonna say if you crack one of your bones. I was gonna say if you crack open like a But you cook chicken bones before. So, like, if you see the bone marrow inside of a chicken bone, it's brown. It used to be yellow. So, if you, like, I've cut into chicken bone before they've been cooked because sometimes I'll get, like, the whole chicken and cut it up and then cook. Like, it's cheaper to get it that way. And then you know you're feeding a whole chicken and not just. No, I do not go kill a chicken. I go and buy a chicken from the store, like a whole one, and then I cut it up into the pieces, and then I cook the pieces like I have two legs, I have two thighs, and sometimes I accidentally, like I misplace and I cut into the bone, and you can see that it is.
Yeah, I've also told me about when I was a kid, how they used to go
Yeah.
catch chickens, killing and eating the day.
Yeah, I grew up with chicken coops, so yeah, my dad used to do that. The roosters were mean. Anyway, here's the periosteum that's on the outside of it. Foramen, that's a hole where the blood vessel goes through. So there's your artery, because arteries are red and veins are blue. Anyway, the fibers connecting them, so on and so forth. Okay? Yeah. I have to walk back over here every single time. Does that have that on here? I'm sorry. I, No, I need to talk about this. The periostinum has two different layers on them. A fibrous layer, that's on the outside. It's got dense, irregular connective tissue and Sharpie's fibers on it so it can connect to the bone matrix. And it has an osteogenic layer. Osteo, bone, genic, creation. So it's going to have the stem cells to make more bone there. Okay? That's where all like bone production in that area will come from. Okay. I'm afraid to click on it, so I'm gonna go there. Yep, it already clicked to the next one. I don't know how to. Okay, bone set one, bone set two. There we go. Okay, there we go. The most important characteristic for designating a bone as a long bone is its elongated shape, its total length, its length relative to other bones, or its location in the body. Oh, I was trying to capture whatever was on there. Span out. Now look. Oh, cut. No. Oh, got it.
That's what I said. I said A, but I said B, and I said A.
B, C, D. There's no E. Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to go to sleep.
Clearly. Clearly.
Now you look, you're the last one.
I know, I'm trying to pick an answer.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It is not.
It was A.
Elongated means like,
because
remember it was longer than it is wide, so the elongated shape. Its total length is irrelevant because it's longer than it is wide, so if you have one that's this long but really thin, it's still a long bone. Its length relative to other bones, well, that would mean that my humerus isn't long bone because my femur is way bigger. Its location in the body, no. I mean, they are located there, but I don't think that, yeah. Let me see, is this one? Go. Okay, yeah, I don't think we're ready for that one. So I need to go there. Okay. All right. Hematopoietic tissue in the bones. So that's going to be bones that are areas that are going to make red blood cells. Okay. The red bone marrow is going to be the site of hemopoiesis. Mostly this is going to happen in the dipoli of the flat bones, like in the sternum. There's going to be a lot of red bone marrow found in there. In newborns, and we're going to make distinctions between newborns and adults a lot in this, their medullary cavities have it. Adults do not. All spongy bone is going to have red bone marrow in infants. In adults, it's in the head of the femur and the humerus. So that's the top part of it in that spongy bone. But the most active sites of it are going to be in flat bones and irregular bones in the dipoli. Okay? And the irregular bone where it's found, that's the hip bone.
Wait, how can the yellow marrow convert to red?
All right, so if a person is anemic, there means that they don't produce, well, they don't have enough iron, so they're not going to produce enough red blood cells. So they're going to need to up their production of red blood cells. So yellow bone marrow will convert into it and start. It converts because it starts producing blood cells too. And if you're producing blood cells, it'll turn red. So. And well, it's not, because it's bad for that to happen. It means there's a problem in the body. Hematopoietic creates red blood cells. That's for red blood cell creation. It didn't switch. Okay.
It's frozen.
I know. I wanted to see how many. The medullary cavity, that was the center part of the long bones, so that hollow piece that was in it. No. All right, question. Oh, freeze. I thought I was on the other one. I'm glad I didn't give the answer. There we go. All right, an adult male is donating red bone marrow to determine if he is a match to a leukemia patient. Most likely, the doctor will collect the bone marrow from his A, femoral diaphysis, humeral diaphysis, sternum, or the skull. Why any of them? That's the question I'm asking. Oh, gotcha. Actually, I didn't. You're like, unless it was right.
I know, I forgot.
I've been saying femur and humerus and.
Oh, but it was both. Okay.
Okay.
The answer was both?
No. That's just a.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah.
That's where the cancer is, right?
What?
She had leukemia. Leukemia is in your lungs.
Leukemia is cancer of the blood. In adults, you find red bone marrow in those both places, but the most active site is in the flat dipoli or in irregular bones, the flat one like the sternum and the hip bone. So that's where you find most of the red blood cells. So most red bone marrow is found. Well, if you try and take out bone marrow here, you're going to get yellow. You'd have to be here. And there's less of it there, which means they'll have to take more. Your sternum, you can take a little piece of it. The knee, that's not the head. That's not the diaphysis, so there's not a lot there. It's in here that it connects into your hip. When you have in your sternum, there's other places in the hip, but you don't really want to take out of your hip. All right, that makes sense? What question? Well, no, I mean, I didn't miss the whole, I started a new one, and I thought I had started the recording of it, but I hadn't. Because, you know, if you're coming up on the hour mark, it was just going to shut off on me. Oh, it's frozen. All right, bone markings. All right, so we talked about these in lab. These are going to be like the little pieces that are like projections or depressions or openings. So we talked about these are where we're going to have blood vessels going through. We're going to have arteries going through. We're going to have nerves going through. We're going to have attachment points of muscles and ligaments and things like that. All right, so places where our joints are, so our ball and socket joints. It's a ball, so that's going to have like a projection sticking out of it. The diaphysis of the humerus, because that's a ball and socket. That part that sticks out, that's going to be a bone marking. The socket that has a depression in it, that's a marking on the bone. Anything that's not making it just one little solid shape. And every little projection on a bone serves a purpose or is a problem. My husband has little projections on his hips. That's arthritis. It's why he hurts in his hip area if he sits down for too long, because they start sticking into things. And then it hurts starting to move around after that. Or if you moves around too much, they grind into stuff. So got to see that on an x-ray after we had an accident, because I did a full x-ray of both of us to see what was going on with the bones. Incidentally, you can actually see whiplash on a scan. My scan of my neck or my vertebrae, it was straight. It's supposed to have a curvature in it. Mine was just straight. I showed it to Dr. Barton. I was like, what do you think of that? He's like, I bet that person's in a lot of pain. I was like, she is. She's in a lot of pain. I was like, that's from my accident. Christmas last year. Well, Christmas Eve last year.
You got in the car?
Yes, the car behind me hit the front of my car. Yep. Don't even try to figure it out. Yep. Drunk people do magic. There was a cop in front of me. So this was great for us on that one. He was making the world's slowest turn. Like, we were almost stopped because he was turning into a church and taking the longest time ever. So I'm looking off to the side, which is the worst position you can be in neck-wise when you get into a rear, like someone hits you and jars you anyway, because it's not stable already. So I was like this, looking at the cop turning, when we get hit in the front and the side. So it pushed, like it ripped the front of our vehicle off. The car behind comes around, and all I can figure out has happened is that they overcorrect and they came in like this, and we were here, so they came and
they
went like that. They were to keep from a rear end, which would have been really bad for us if they would have rear-ended us like that, because all the kids were in the back seat, so that would have been really bad. But they came, they tried to avoid hitting us, but they went too far this way, and there was a ditch going off, so then they jerked back, overcorrected, and then came in like this, so they went and it ripped the front of our car off. It flipped the tires underneath her car. It looked like they were trying to escape because they just kept going down the road, but she was trying to maintain control because it flipped her wheels on that side underneath her car. So she didn't have wheels, so she was just trying to regain control, and she couldn't brake because she didn't have wheels anymore. So she was just going down the road super fast, like trying to maintain control. And it hits on the side with the baby, so wham, and then she's screaming, and I'm like I can't get to her, and I'm like freaking out, and so I don't even know that I'm hurt over here. Adrenaline's going, and you don't know until like 2 days later, and then you start feeling it. Like, I got tapped, like rear-ended, but I saw it coming. And I was like, oh, and I couldn't go anywhere because, the cars in front of me were stopped. And I was stopped there. And I just saw that I was going to get hit. It wasn't a hard hit. Like it made me feel like, did I really just get hit? But I braced myself for the hit. So all my muscles were tensed when I got hit. 2 days later, my whole body was sore. Oh, so, I mean, that's muscles. But, back to bones. I hadn't broke a bone in any of that, thank goodness. Anyway, types of markings. We're going to go through those. We went through some of those already. Tuberosities, that's going to be large, rounded projections. Like this one's a tuberosity, I do believe. Trochanters, that's going to be these pieces here. They're very large. They're blunt. They're irregular shaped. Those are processes because they're sticking out. So you have them on the femur, you have them on the humerus. Crest, the iliac, that's on the hip. So it's like the peak of a mountain, the crest. So it makes a crest. I don't see a line on here. Here's That's a weird one. We don't talk about that. These are tubercle. It has a guide to how to say it. Nice. Where is that? Yeah. It's a little piece that sticks off right here. It's a little projection. That one has a tendon that attaches to it. All of these are like little bitty projections, okay? A condylite or epicondylite is going to be a raised part. So the condylite is down here, the epicondylite up in here. Process is going to be anything that pokes out. So these are types of processes, okay? Make sense? And we talked about this in lab. Oh good, it is frozen. So yeah. All right, so the trochanter and the line here, they're gonna have tendons attaching to them. Okay, that's how we're going to attach the muscles onto the femurs. How we're going to attach the muscles onto the humerus through those. Okay, any questions about that? All right, so the head is going to be a little like the peak of it. The condylite, remember, it has a piece that's sticking up. We saw that in the jawbone, like the piece that hooks into the socket on and allows for the rotation of the jaw. For Raymond's, those are going to be little holes that allow nerves to go through. So little openings in the bone. The fossa, that's going to be a shallow basin-like depression. So that one, there's a fossa inside of here. It's a little depression. This one's a fossa. That's the fossa that the condylite sits in and allows the rotation for the jaw. Meatus, remember we saw the external auditory meatus. It's a hole, it's a hallway, basically. We're just moving on. Okay. I'm so frustrated with this whole computer. All right. An example of a projection on a bone that is a site of muscle or ligament attachment is a meatus, a head, a condylite, or a trochanter. I can't do the low part, so I'll stop now. Yeah. We just clear that it's not the head. It's a trochanter. The condylite was a projection for articulation. The trochanter is the piece that sticks out on the diaphysis or whatever of the femur and the humerus that attaches the tendons and the ligaments for the, for muscle attachment to the humerus and the femur. The meatus, that's, you remember the hallway? So external auditory meatus. It's a long opening. Depressions on bones include a fossa, trochanters, tubercles, or tuberosities. Gotcha. Flashes an answer and goes to sleep.
It's cold in here. So you want to
sleep. It's not cold in here.
I'm cold.
I'm going to send your mom the audio about how many times I wake you up in class.
You recorded it on the podcast?
Yeah, it's been a lot on the podcast. So just listen back, but you'll probably fall asleep through it. So
every time y'all start laughing is when y'all were all looking at me.
I'm waiting on you. Oh, one of these is not like the other.
I hope it's the one that doesn't start with C. Oh my god.
You got it right.
Yeah, I did.
Nobody would think she would get it right because she was asleep.
Sleep through the whole thing. Let me see, going back here. Okay. Oh.
That's about it. I mean, look at it. Trochanters, tuber.
Let me hang on. How many slides? Oh, jeez. All right. So there are different bone types. Bone cell tissue. We have osteogenic cells, osteoblasts, osteocytes, bone lining cells, and osteoclasts. I'm going to skip through that. All right, these are going to be the osteogenic cells. Those are going to, this is an osteogenic cell. It's going to be highly mitotic. It's going to make new cells, okay? When they get stimulated, into an osteoblast, and these are going to be responsible for bone growth. Okay, they have a matrix inside of them called the osteoid, or bones have a matrix inside of them called the osteoid. Osteoid. It's made up of collagen and calcium binding proteins. They're still actively mitotic. Collagen. Collagen makes up 90% of the bones in, or the protein that's in the bone. So collagen is one of the most abundant proteins in the body. So that shows up on things. Osteoblasts, osteocytes, and osteoclasts. I already did blast. Osteocytes. These are mature bone cells. They are no longer mitotic. They help maintain the matrix of the bone. They act as sensors for stress and for strain on it. They respond to mechanical stimuli by increasing, mechanical stimuli like extra force on it or being weightless, so taking the force off of it. They communicate to the osteoblast so that, that goes back to what the osteoblast and the osteoclast. Osteoblast to make, osteoclast to destroy. So osteoclast, they destroy bone. That sounds like a bad thing, but it's not. You know, it eats up the old and then it gets replaced by the osteoblast with new bone. So you want that to actually happen. Osteoclast, The osteoblast make, osteoclast destroy, so that you can remodel bones. Okay? All right. Any questions on that? And there's a good description of it in the PowerPoint I gave you guys. Like, it lists it all out. Bone lining cells do exactly what they sound like. They're little flat cells, and they line the surface of the bone. The ones on the outside are periosteal cells. The ones on the inside are endosteal cells. Okay? That's just a picture.
What is periosteal
cells? Bone lining on the outside. I'm going to skip the microscopic of it because we covered all of that in lab when we did tissues. Yep, all of that we did because we're out of time on that. Microscopic. All right, chemical composition. All right, chemical composition, and we're going to cover this better in lab. We have an experiment on it. We're not going to do it. I'm just going to show you because it takes a long time to do it, and I also don't have an oven in the lab to do part of it. So getting rid of the organic and getting rid of the inorganic. So the organic components of bone include the osteogenic cells, osteoblasts, osteocytes, organic stuff, the cells. Bone lining cells, osteoclasts, and the osteoid, which is one-third of the bone matrix. Its main thing is going to be secreting the osteoblasts, which are going to make cell, which is really counterintuitive. I know if you think blast, you're going to destroy, but clast, you're going to destroy, and blast, build. Blast it up, build it up. I don't know how you can remember it, but that's...
I think the clast, like, clast, because it clasts, like, it takes all the cells together.
Yeah, okay, that'll work. There's these sacrificial bonds that they have inside of the, in and between the collagen molecules. They're going to stretch, they're going to break, they're going to dissipate, they're going to pull energy into it. It helps prevent fractures. And if you don't have any, extra trauma added onto a bone, like after something like that, the bone will all reform. So if you put too much stress on it and it breaks and you don't have any more further trauma to it, it actually reforms. It takes about 11 weeks for new bone to form. So I know when I broke my ankle, I was off, I couldn't stand on my foot at all for 11 weeks. Well, he gave me 12, but 11 weeks is how long it takes to build new bone. And he gave me an extra week to make sure. In a wheelchair and on crutches. I was in a wheelchair for a long time. I was up here in a boot. I was here in a boot. It happened the previous year before you guys got here at my old school. Kobe had the joy of pushing me around at Six Flags in a wheelchair in Atlanta, and it was really hilly. He had fun with that. All right, that's the organic. The inorganic, that's going to be the non-organic part. So we have our minerals. 65% of the mass of the bone is inorganic, okay? It's going to be responsible for it being actually hard. We'll see when we take out the inorganic, the bone is going to be really loosey-goosey, okay? Bone is half as strong as steel in resisting compression, and it's as strong as steel in resisting tension. So compression, tension. Okay. Bones stay hard after death because it takes a lot longer for inorganic to break down than organic. And that's what we look at when we're looking at the ancients. This is calcium phosphate, so it's made up of a lot of calcium phosphate and collagen fibers. Okay? Any questions? Oh, don't want to unfreeze it and have it flip all around. What's that? Oh, you don't have to. I don't. I'm not prepared to scan it. Just, what do you think it is?
Go back to the other side.
It is A, because these are all organic, and the hardness is the inorganic. So that would be this one.
Yeah, I was the first one.
All right, that's it for.